Well, welcome to the second week of our message series that we're calling A Cozy Christmas. Now, I know what you're thinking, Father, this is week two. I haven't heard week one of A Cozy Christmas. Well, I was a little ill last weekend, so I videotaped it for you and I sent it out last week through our church database and through Flock Note. So hopefully you got that video of the first episode and that you watched it. If you didn't, you're going to be completely lost this entire homily. I'm just kidding. But it is good to go back and watch it because there were some really important points made, I think. Anyway, in this series, A Cozy Christmas, we're looking at how to bring spiritual comfort to ourselves, our families, and other people this holiday season. You probably know that Advent is a season of waiting. But besides watching and preparing ourselves for the singular event that transformed this world, the birth of Jesus Christ, we can also find great comfort in the readings that we hear at Mass during this time of year, because they remind us that we have a God who longs to be close to us, who wants to be near us, so close that he was born into our world as one of us. Beginning with the ancient Jewish people, even until today, God comes near. He's not a distant deity, but a loving Father who comforts us in our human condition with his presence. Whatever distress we're going through, whatever suffering we're facing, whatever blessings we're enjoying, God wants to be part of the story of our lives. And so these readings over the 4 weeks of Advent are actually meant to comfort us and to console us, reminding us that our God will never abandon us. Our God will never leave us. He is always with us. And so in this series, A Cozy Christmas, we're learning how to prepare our homes and our hearts and our minds and our souls for the coming of the Lord, how to find peace for ourselves through all the hype of the Christmas shopping season, how to create cozy, comforting spaces among our families and friends, and how to bring spiritual comfort to others who are suffering. Now, to do that, in the video that I sent out, I taught you a Scandinavian word, and it's going to be the centerpiece of our message series. You may know that my mother was Swedish, and so I grew up in a Swedish household with Swedish customs and Swedish culture and tradition. And Christmas was always my favorite because my mom knew how to make it cozy and comforting. And I think it's a Scandinavian thing because there's a word for it in that culture, and that word became kind of a lifestyle that swept the globe. People around the world were envious of this lifestyle. They wanted to imitate it. And it's called hygge. H-Y-G-G-E. And you pronounce it hygge. Can you say it with me? Hygge. Excellent. That's your first word of Swedish. You're going to learn a few more in this series. But basically, hygge means coziness and comfort. Hygge is like a sense of togetherness, you know, an inner warmth, a world lit by candles and snuggled under blankets. Picture this, a group of friends who are gathered around a fire on a really cold Scandinavian winter's night. It's dark outside. They're gathered around the fire. They're wearing Nordic pattern sweaters. They're sipping warm spiced wine or hot chocolate while chatting and laughing together. There's candles throughout the room, and it's cold outside, but it's warm and cozy inside. If you can picture that scene, that's hygge. That's hygge. And so in the video that I sent out the first week of this series, we started to look at how to prepare our souls. How to prepare our souls for Christmas through this lens of hygge, this idea of hygge. You see, the Nordic art of creating intimacy, hygge, has led to the highest recorded levels of happiness in the world. And that's because it involves a certain kind of conscious awareness, a slowness, and the ability to recognize and enjoy the present moment with other people. You know, you and I are so accustomed in our culture to rushing through Advent, checking off all the things we have to do, buying all the gifts we have to get, sending out all the cards we have to mail, planning all the and attending all the parties we have to go to, that sometimes we just don't have time for the simple intimacy of sitting with God and being quiet and slowing down in our lives. But we have to do that if we want to experience God's comfort. That was what was in the video last week in episode one. Now, tonight, I want to talk with you about how we can prepare another aspect of our lives for the coming of the Lord, how we can prepare our homes. So to do that, I need to teach you another Scandinavian word. This is the second one. Are you ready? It's called hjemmahuga. Can you say that with me? Hjemmahuga. Very good. You must have watched the Swedish chef on the Muppets because he had that great lilting, you know. Hjemmahuga. You have to kind of say it that way. It's like up and down and very cute. Anyway, hjemmahuga is basically huga for the home. It's a hugleig. That's the adjective, by the way. That's your third word. Hugleig is the adjective of huga. So hjemmahuga is a hugleig atmosphere that you create in your home. And it's not about more stuff. It's not about more decorations. It's not about more anything. Huga is actually about less. It's an atmosphere of warmth and simplicity that you just can't buy, but can be created through love. Now, why are we talking about homes at Christmas? Well, because a home is more than where you just live. A home speaks of love, acceptance, warmth, belonging. And your home should be a comfortable place, a sanctuary from the crazy world out there, and a safe harbor. Home is a place where family bonds are nurtured, friends are warmly welcomed, cozy conversations take place, and memories of a lifetime are made. At Christmas, family members come home. For some, it can be a painful or difficult experience reconnecting with family. But for many people, being home for the holidays is a great comfort, a relief from the daily grind, and an opportunity to come back to the warm-heartedness of sacred time with family. Christmas is an opportunity to welcome your loved ones back to the comfort and solace of hearth and home. So it's important that we have the right atmosphere for a homecoming. The first reading today that we heard at Mass from the prophet Isaiah was all about coming home. It describes this same feeling, a feeling that God wanted to convey to the hurt and broken people of ancient Israel. At this point in their story, they had been exiled in a foreign land with people of a different religion and culture and family traditions, and they had been there for at least 50 years. They had been forced to leave their ancestral land and dwell among a hostile nation, demanding that they give up their Jewish identity and traditions and culture. But now, in this reading from Isaiah, God begins the process of bringing his people home. He wants to bring his people comfort and hope and tell them that their suffering will soon come to an end. In fact, if you look, that's how the passage begins. It begins with words of comfort. Comfort, God says, give comfort to my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service, meaning her exile, is at an end and her guilt is expiated, it's forgiven. The message is clear that God will soon bring his people home. And not only that, God is going to clear the way. As you can imagine, traveling through the desert for hundreds of miles from Babylon, where they were exiled, to Jerusalem, could be grueling, dangerous. But in this passage, God promises to make the journey home easy. He reassures his discouraged people and he says, every valley will be filled in and every mountain and hill will be made low. The rugged land will be made plain, meaning easy to cross, and the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all humanity will see it together. God will be gentle with his people, loving and forgiving, and he himself will lead them and remain close to them as he has done as he had done hundreds of years earlier when he first led them through the desert out of Egypt into the promised land. And then in the very last line of today's first reading, another comforting phrase, another comforting sentence. Like a shepherd, God will feed his flock. In his arms, he gathers the lambs, carrying them in his bosom and leading them home with care. Well, 500 years later, when Israel was at another low point, their land was occupied by Rome, another foreign hostile power. God once again came and spoke tenderly to his people. He spoke to them this time not through Isaiah, but through another voice. This voice was the last of the prophets, and his name was John the Baptist. John's job was to prepare the way for Jesus to be born among the people as an everlasting sign of hope and God's comfort and intimacy with his people. That's why God said to Jesus in the first verse of that reading tonight from the gospel, he says, "Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way." And that messenger was John. But John was going to prepare the way for a different kind of homecoming. Not a physical homecoming, not a return from exile in a foreign land, but a much more powerful one, a spiritual homecoming, an affair of the heart, returning home to God from the alienation of sin and disobedience. Have you ever wondered why John went all the way out into the desert across the River Jordan? Why did he wear, you know, camel's clothing? Why did he eat grasshoppers, you know, and honey? Why did he do that? It would have been, if I had been John, it would have been so much easier. I would have set up shop in Jerusalem. I would have checked into a 5-star hotel and then gone out and gone on the streets and talked to people and so on and so on. But no, John goes all the way out to the desert. Why? It was a symbolic reminder that the desert was the place where their ancestors had wandered for 40 years, and God led them home to the promised land then, and he will do it now. And through a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, John wanted the people to reaffirm their identity as God's people and symbolically re-enter the promised land, coming home once again to communion with God. And it was a message whose time had come. The people were starving for hope and encouragement. And they came out to see John in huge crowds. They swarmed to the desert. The passage says that people of the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. And then John promised that something much greater was about to happen. Someone much greater was about to come. It was the promise that born of a virgin as a tiny infant, the Lord would come home to his people forever, never to leave them again. He would come with tidings of comfort and joy, as the hymn says. in the tiny infant of Christ born at Christmas would be the greatest moment of spiritual hygge the earth had ever known and will ever know. So what if this year you and I could make it a really cozy Christmas, where all our friends and relatives and loved ones could come home to comfort and joy, come home to acceptance and love and belonging, come home to a safe harbor from a divided and distressed world? What if a generous amount of Hemahuga could remind us that in a world ravaged by war and conflict, there can be a safe, cozy, intimate place we can call home, a place filled with hygge because God dwells there? What if every Christmas decoration you have to put up this year isn't a chore that you grumble about, but a sign that the space you call home is different because from the Christmas tree to the wreath to the lights to the wrapping on the gifts, you are reminded of the true meaning of Christmas, the intimate presence of God come to earth and into our hearts with his light and love. If that sounds good to you, I have a few action steps for you to consider doing this week. First of all, as you're decorating your home for Christmas, and please do decorate your home for Christmas, think about adding a little corner in your home for God. If you don't have this already, think about making a small sacred space in your home. It could be in the corner of a room, with just some pictures of Jesus and Mary. It could be a table along a wall, you know, with sacred symbols and maybe the Bible and maybe a chair for you to sit and pray and a little candle or something. Make it inviting and cozy and warm, a place you want to be. Maybe you'll want to keep it there all year long as a place to reflect and experience God's warmth and cozy intimacy. We've prepared a short tutorial to help guide you, and we'll be sending that out this week. And here's the thing, when you're done doing that, and I want every one of you to do that, please, is I want you to take a picture of it or take a short video on your iPhone and send it in to me. And we're going to feature it on Christmas Eve in front of all the crowds of people, and you will be famous. All you got to do is snap that picture, take that video, attach it to an email, and send it to welcome@sthillary.org. welcome@sthillary.org. That's so easy, and I'll keep reminding you. Believe me, I will pester you until you do it. Second thing to consider, add some hygge to our Christmas tree out here on the plaza. Just like last year, we want you to make an ornament, and we'll hang it for you on our tree outside on the plaza. So after Mass, stop by our parish hall right next door to my right here. We've got some wine and some cozy treats for you to enjoy as an inducement for you to do this. Spend 5 or 10 minutes and make your ornament. We've got the tables out there, we've got the ornaments, and we've got all the markers. Channel your inner child. People were spending a lot of time on it today and doing a really beautiful job, beautiful artwork. And then one last thing to consider. Maybe serve as a family at our Christmas masses this year. You know, at the holidays, so many Catholics come home for the first time in a long time. Wouldn't it be great if they experienced the kind of closeness and warmth that we do every Sunday? You and your family could be that welcoming face, offering a little hygge to them. So we need volunteer greeters, host ministers, we call them, to greet, to hand out bulletins, to help people to their seats. We'll train you. It'll be very easy. All you got to do is have a smile on your face. That's so easy. And to sweeten the deal, we're going to give you, if you volunteer, a reserved seat at one of our Christmas masses of your choice with a great view. You can sign up online, you can scan the QR code, you can go to our Christmas page on our website and sign up right there. Wherever you make room for Christ this Christmas, you make room for his comfort, his consolation, and his intimate presence. Not just for yourself, not just for your family, but for all who come close and come home to Christ this Christmas.